39 Steps by John Buchan. Retold by Jenny Edwards. Copyright Burlington Books, 2002. Chapter 1. A Man in Danger. I was born in Scotland, but when I was 6, my family left the country and emigrated to Rhodesia. I grew up in Bulawayo, the capital of the young country, and later served as an intelligence officer for the British Army in the Boer War in South Africa. By 1914, when I was 37, I had made quite a lot of money. Since I was still unmarried, I decided to see a little of the world and began by returning to Britain. At the time my story begins, I had only been living in London for a few months, but I was finding life in the city very boring compared to my life in Rhodesia. I was even considering taking a job in Greece, or perhaps going to Albania. I thought that life there might be more exciting than life in Britain. One evening in May, at about 10 o'clock, I was returning from dinner at my club and thinking about the rumours that I had heard there. For weeks, the newspapers had been full of stories about the possibility of war between Britain and Germany that might spread to include the rest of Europe. As I put my door key into the lock of my flat in Portland Place, my future seemed quite uncertain. I was so absorbed in my thoughts that I jumped when I heard someone say my name. "Mr. Hanny," said someone behind me. "I need your help. May I come in?" Surprised, I turned and saw Scudder, an American war correspondent who lived in a flat at the top of my building. I had only spoken to Scudder once or twice as we passed on the stairs, and I did not know much about him. But he seemed very nervous and looked continuously at the entrance to the building as if he were afraid. I also noticed that his hands were trembling slightly. I was curious to learn what was troubling him, and decided to let him come into my flat. "It's late, but come in," I said. Scudder seemed a little less nervous after the front door was closed. He followed me into the living room of my flat. "What's the problem, Scudder?" I asked. "I've faked my own suicide, Hanny," he said. "I need everyone to believe that I'm dead, for a few weeks at least." "Tell me what has happened," I said, taking a cigar and offering one to Scudder, as I sat back to listen. I was not sure that I believed the story he told me, but it seemed possible, since everyone was talking about the probability of war in Europe. Scudder was the war correspondent in Europe for a group of American newspapers. They had their European offices in London, so he kept a flat in my building. In the course of his work, Scudder had discovered an anarchist plot to assassinate the Greek leader Karolides when he came to London on June the 15th. They couldn't assassinate him in his own country because he had several men guarding him carefully. "Karolides is the only leader in Europe who has the slightest chance of preventing war," said Scudder. "The anarchists are planning to destabilize Europe and get Britain involved in a war between Germany and Russia. I got final proof of their plans when I was in Paris 10 days ago. The anarchists began to suspect that I knew about their plan and tried to follow me back to London. I traveled all over Europe to try and escape from them. I left Paris disguised as a young French Canadian and then sailed from Hamburg disguised as a diamond merchant. I finally arrived in London, dressed as a paper merchant. I thought that they hadn't been able to follow me, but yesterday, when I was getting ready to go out, I noticed a man watching the building. I thought I recognized the man as one of the anarchists. Later, I was terrified when I found a business card from their leader in my letterbox. That was when I decided that I had to fake my own suicide." Scudder had faked his suicide using the body of a homeless man who was the same height and whose hair was the same color as his. Scudder had bribed a worker in the morgue to bring the man's body to him in a big suitcase. He had then dressed the man's body in his pajamas and shot it in the face to make it look like a suicide, and so that the face would not be identifiable. He had put the gun and an empty bottle of whiskey beside the body and had written a suicide note. Scudder knew that it might be several weeks before the police discovered the truth, and he hoped that this would give him enough time to make a plan to prevent the assassination. "So, now you know my story," said Scudder. "Can I hide in your flat until the anarchists go away?" I agreed to let him stay with me. When my servant Paddock arrived in the morning, I explained that Scudder was a friend who had returned from India and needed complete rest to recover from a fever. Paddock had been with me in the army in South Africa and did not think that the situation was strange. As I hate having servants living in the house, Paddock always came at 8 in the morning and left at 7 in the evening. Scudder stayed in his room while Paddock took care of the flat and came out in the evening after Paddock had left.